This generation, you've heard this before, struck me when I was younger. This generation of believers is responsible for this generation of souls. I just want that to ring in you. This generation of believers, we're responsible for this generation of souls. Just let that sink in. Let it sink in, because we're the ones. Listen, I am super pumped up about what's going on. I don't need this thing. Oh, I tried to, some kid threw that at me today and I told him I'd hit him and I missed him by 12 feet. Too much batting practice pitching yesterday, this old arm shot. All right, listen, get out your Bibles, go to Ephesians and a few other places. John chapter 2 also. On the back of your bulletin, you have three, I'm not even sure what it says. I'm not sure if I have my bulletin right here. Three-point vision to prepare for revival, reach our community, and make ready the bride for his coming. There's three things, and I'm calling this, whatever, PF Vision 2020. 2020 has to do with the fact, I want this flying by 2020. It's not that far away. What really hit me is I'm going to be 50 in 2020. I thought, holy cow, this is, it is. It's like, wow. So listen, I've got to do this by the time I'm 50. That's it. In this time, here's what God's going to require of us. The first and primary focus of what God's going to, require of us over this next season, and this begins yesterday, that is God's calling us to be worshipers. I want you to hear this so clearly. There's no other priority that we have. We have every body of believers has kind of priorities. And they do, and they all should. That's why we all collectively can do what the church as a whole does. We started, you know this, if you've been around here a while, we actually on record, it was in the newspaper, it's on record in Harrisburg, here's what our whole purpose is. We were called to create a time and a place for the worship of Almighty God. Yeah. Period. That's like, not funny, that's what it says. And if you go down to Harrisburg and say, I wonder what Praise Fellowship does. They were called to create a time and a place for the worship of Almighty God, period. We are worshipers. We must worship. We have to worship. We can do everything else, but at the heart of it has to be worship of Almighty God. And what I mean is just what we do, that gazing at him, that getting in his presence, allowing him to change us. We have countless testimonies of people getting changed by God, not even remotely influenced in that moment by another person, but walking into a room where people were worshiping and God changed their life. It's really cool stuff. Just is. That is our number one priority. It's also how we fight battles. When we come in here to this very room, now we worship in this facility. We have four places pretty much that we worship. Right here is a primary room. That room right there is like a cool room as can be to worship in, our prayer room. The cafe turns into a worship place multi times throughout the week. And downstairs, they have a whole room dedicated for kids to come and worship. So those are the places. But when we gather to worship, we must understand that we are not gathering to sing. And I know I've been on this a few weeks, but I want us to get this. We have to realize that we're changing things when we worship. That we're changing the atmosphere. That we are called to, this region is ours. We have a responsibility to this region. And we fight our battles not in the natural. We fight them, our battles are not against flesh and blood. They're against the powers and principalities of the ages, of the air. Well, how do we fight principalities in the air? You don't punch them. You don't complain about them. You just don't. You don't come up with great plans to beat them. You go after them in the air, and we have no authority in the air unless we join into the authority that rules the air, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of his angelic beings rule the air. So as strange as it seems, somehow We join that by worshiping him, by glorifying him. Victories are won when worship goes out. And so we have to have a priority of worship. You know that, but I want you to hear, this is a major. This is it. The heart of God is the whole of what we're talking about for where God wants us to go. Just as a simple thing, things like this kind of fade over the years, but this room was always called the worship place. This was, we'd have conferences here. This teaching seminar was in the WP, the worship place. I'm totally reclaiming that. This is not a sanctuary. I don't come here to hide from anybody. This is the worship place. And so if you're wondering, Trisha, where are you? I want signs. I want whatever. This is the worship place. Train your terminology. What happens in religious systems, and I get it, I've been there long enough, you can be creative, but then if you're not proactive, it drifts back to whatever the standard religious thing is. That's what happens. So I'm okay. I'm not anti-sanctuaries. But this is a worship place. And so make sure we just start calling it that. So first thing we got to do in reaching this world is worship. Second thing we've got to do, and again, this is so basic, but I just want to throw it out to you. We must have as a priority the word. We have to. I talked before that we're in a vacuum. What are we in a vacuum of? We are in a vacuum of truth. We have no clue about anything. Yesterday, there was a tremendous marriage conference here, and it is so radical, the things they're teaching at that marriage conference. So radical, so amazing, so everything your grandparents knew. Live in a world as dumb as rocks. It just is. Because there is a vacuum of truth. And we must herald it. We must speak it. We must go after it. We got to get the. We must have a voice. I'm telling you, you got to hear this. We, right here, is Praise Fellowship, but I'm talking to church as a whole. We need our voice back. And be very careful not to lose your voice. I'm dead serious about this. We can't lose our voice. Two ways that people lose their voices, I believe that the church loses their voices in today's world. One is, watch this, may we never get that. You do realize that the world we live in now doesn't want any information. You know that, right? You know what everybody wants? They want validation for their pre-existing beliefs. That's all anybody wants. I want validation for what I already believe. Well, that doesn't even make any sense. Because that means at some point, you're as smart as you're ever getting. And whatever view you have, you're done. And now the only things you will hear is what's validating that current view. If you were to watch anything on the media, all it is people gathering information that will validate their current view, which is the ultimate in ignorance. Just is. So here's what we need to be careful of. We can't just validate what we currently know. We got to be seeking. You don't think there's more out there? You think that this is as enlightened as we get? Lord, help us. There's got to be more. This little brain of mine's got to always be changing because there's always new revelation that God's given. We've got to be seeking. So don't ever think, here's what most churches do. A bunch of people come together and get validated for what they already believe. Yep. Really? We have a voice? I don't want that voice. I want, every time I come with you, I'm challenged. Yeah. Yeah. I do. I sit down with you and I leave there thinking, that made me stretch a little bit. They have a different view of something than me. They saw something from a different angle than I did. Well, that's pretty cool. Now, hey, baby, this is rock solid, right? Not looking for any creative ways to interpret this. Amen. But I tell you what, I don't have full understanding of this. And I don't think you do either. And so we need to challenge each other to get into this. We need to teach it more. We got to up our game in teaching the word. We got to get it out. We got to do it more often. We got to do it better. We got to use every form of media we can to get the word out. Because we're looking to be challenged by the word of God, not to be massaged by the word of God. And the other reason we lose our voice, and this is probably more, if I'm guilty of one of these two, this is what I would be a little more guilty of. We assume nobody wants to hear the truth. It's really the truth. That's the truth, right? We assume, watch this. We assume that they don't want to hear the truth. That's not true. It's not true. It isn't. I'm amazed whenever I'm in discussion with somebody who I'm convinced has no interest in what I'm saying, when I'm actually bold enough to just throw something out. They're fascinated. Oh, wow. I'm telling you, people, they want to hear the truth. Now, they want to hear it in a way that they can understand it. But they want to hear it. So I think we need to debunk that lie. And the only way to debunk that lie is to regularly debunk that lie with each other. To say, listen, that person who's, we just talked about marriage, that person whose marriage is struggling, they actually want to have hope. They want to hear from somebody. They want something. The person who's struggling financially, they actually want to know biblical principles of finances. They don't know it, but they want to know it. I'm telling you, it's out there. People want to hear the truth. We must up our game in the Word. And when I say that, you know, one of the things that should challenge us for is, okay, so, because there have been times, each of us could probably point to different times in our life where you were so hungry for the Word. If anybody was doing anything with the Bible, right, you were there at any time of the day with whatever lunatics were in that group. It didn't matter. You were there because you wanted the Word. Let me tell you, as a learner, I got to up my game. I just do. I got to make sacrifices to grow in the Word. I absolutely do. Or I will become, this is what I'll become, somebody with current information looking for more information to validate my current information. Or I can say, I'm coming after you, God. Wreck me. And he'll do it. So we got to up our worship. We got to up our Word. I think I wrote something down that I probably should say because I liked it when I wrote it down. We must have a hunger to learn, a hunger to grow, and willing to make mind-transforming sacrifices. See, Romans chapter 12 talks about being transformed by the renewal of our mind. Your mind will not be renewed unless you make sacrifices that will transform your mind. It takes sacrifices. And then I wrote this down. I want information, not validation. I want information that comes from inspiration to cause a transformation, and I'm willing to put in the perspiration. Huh? You like that? I got a little cute there, Jeff. You like that? I'm telling you, people, that's got to be our battle cry. Yeah, baby. I want some inspired information to transform this guy. And we get it collectively when we're together. So those things are big. You got to get those. We've got to just major in worship and the Word and worship and the Word and worship and the Word. Well, the other aspect that we've got to go after, I did this just because you would remember, because it's WWW, and that is the world. We want the world. We've got to get this out to the world. And obviously, no church doesn't say that. If we said we're not interested in reaching the world, then we're done. But there's just a real renewed stirring in us. I know it's in me, it's in us. Even maybe it's because I'm more aware that all of the systems, the religious systems, the false religion systems, the demonic systems, whatever you want to say, they are crumbling, and that makes me rejoice. What makes me not rejoice is all these people floundering. Yeah. Now, they were floundering before. They just didn't look as bad. Well, they didn't. Now they're floundering, and I realize, oh, my gosh, they don't have a clue. And so it's just breaking my heart that even as I can rejoice that systems are faltering, I'm saying, oh, but that person, that young person, that lady right there, that guy who put all his hope in that for the last 58 years is ruined. Yeah. We've got to reach them with this. We've got to reach them. We must get out to the world. We've got to get this out. We've got to make it easy for people to see that there's truth. We've got to be, the picture, even last night as I was laying in bed, if I would have brought this stuff out, but I totally forgot till right now. You don't know this because you're not on the inside information of how we pour communion cups. Huh? You think they magically appear with these little 1 ounce things. It comes from a big jug of, we always use Welch's grape juice because Welch's was actually invented for communion, so that's a cool thing. And it's from just up the road, so that's a cool thing too. So we always take a big jug of Welch's grape juice and we get this dinky little cup, right? Has anybody ever tried to pour that jug into that little cup? Yeah, it doesn't work. I'll tell you, it doesn't work. It's not a good thing. So what you do is, I really should have brought this stuff in, but it was so much better if I had demonstrated this. What you do is have some sort of a funnel. I mean, this is real smart, huh? We're so smart, these communion people. And they actually have a cool funnel. It's like super cool. You pour it into this thing, and it's like a cup. And it's full now of grape juice. And it's got this little stem that comes down, and a little thing down here that you go, beep, and it goes, psh, beep, psh. It's like we're in, like, this is fancy. And you can go, there's 40 cups in a tray, and you can go, psh, 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 psh. And the people who are good are like, psh, not a drop. Every cup is filled. But you know what they did? They took a huge jug, put it in a pretty big cup that was very easy to get into, and then they focused it right at that little thing. Choo, choo, choo. I'm telling you, hear this. You got to get this picture because here's what we got to go after. The world right now is like a big jug of grape juice. And we're trying to have them encounter the Father heart of God, which is what Jesus says, is the path is narrow, right, of righteous. So we're trying to get that whole big jug into this little cup. And we're doing such a bad job sometimes that it's not that we're trying to pour this jug in there and it spills all over and we get excited because praise God, we got a cup full. Yep, and you got a big mess all over the kitchen carpet, all that stuff. We almost go as silly as trying to pour it through a straw. We seem to make it so difficult sometimes to experience God that we like even make the hole smaller to get into the cup. People, we need a wide funnel. Now, the way, the path of righteousness is narrow. I'm not talking about making that wide, but I'm sure talking about making it wide to encounter the path, to encounter the Lord, to make it easy to, I just got in here and I don't even know why. Now I have to decide if I'm going after God. As opposed to, God, I have no idea. Haven't heard of him. Because I've never experienced it. I want a wide funnel that people are flowing into for the sole purpose, our sole purpose, to get them to the heart of God. Have them encounter the Lord. Have them get into the Word, life-changing, transforming power of the Word. And have them experience and gaze at the beauty of our Lord as the preparation of the bride. He's going after the bride. That's us. And it's really good. When you're the bride, man, you get the whatever shovel that Denny was talking about. It's all for the bride. But you got to get there somehow. So let me just share this story. This is one part of what we're doing. This is actually, I actually think this is so big. It's way bigger than what I can say. Does anybody want to take a guess of, because we think, how many people 25 and under do you think live in Warren County? Any idea? Somebody just throw out a number because I want to ridicule it, whatever you say. So, 10,000? Way to get it right. In Warren County, I want you to hear this. There's about 12,000 people age 25 and under. Right? We think we're from a small town, right? I think 12,000 people under the age of 25 is pretty significant. Our influence obviously goes into southern part of Chautauqua County. We zip around and we run through, you know, Frewsburg and Jamestown and Lakewood and Panama. And of course, we bump up and steal some people from Sinclairville. And right? Come on. So that's kind of our circle that goes up there. And then Warren County. And then, of course, we always have this like, whoop, over to Kane. Hallelujah. Right? So we're going after. So, I want you to hear this. In that area, there are easily 30,000 people, easily under the age of 25. 30,000 people under the age of 25. I want you to hear, these are from U.S. Census things. Sometimes I make up stats. I'm not making up these. I want you to let that sink in. Because these 30,000 people, I don't really know where they are, but I think I know where they aren't. They're not in churches. Why? I don't know, but I do know that we play a role in this. How wide is our door? How appealing is our door? How desirable is our door? And let me tell you this. These people 25 and under, nobody wants them. Wow. World doesn't want them. Doesn't mean they don't want to use them. It means they don't want them. Nobody wants them. Everybody wants to use them for whatever it is. I have an agenda. Let me use the 12-year-olds. I have something I'm going to market. I can sell that to an 8-year-old. Right? We'll use them. Do we want them? They're unwanted in most of their homes. Now, we like them as long as they stay young and cute. But then at some point, they become less cuddly. And even parents don't really want them. I can't wait till they're gone. Can't wait till, when are you graduating? Well, really though, I'm just saying, this is an unwanted people. And they're an awesome people. I believe they're some of the greatest people that have ever walked this earth. I believe they're lost. And I believe they've never been fathered. Most of them have never had people who love them. Most of them have no idea of their potential because this is what they've grown up with. They've grown up with constant criticism for how lousy they are. Can you imagine that? Some of you can imagine that because that was your house. Some of you grew up being told how rotten you were. And I'm just saying we got a whole generation that's being told that. The whole generation. So listen, there's a lot of them out there, but I do know that I, and then by nature you, we are responsible for 30,000 of them. 30,000 of them. I just want to give you some alarming stats. I know Warren County pretty well. Warren County has approximately 40,000 people. This stat I'm about to give you is totally undocumented, but I think it's pretty true. Right now, right this very minute, of those 40,000, you'll never convince me there's more than 4,000 of them right now worshiping. How do I know that? It's like 80 churches. They average 50 people. And not a high percentage. I'm saying nobody's reaching anybody. Really not. We're like people point to us as this, you know, oh, you guys are doing it. You're reaching people. You're growing and all that stuff. Well, that all depends on what your standard is. If your standard is the church that went from 100 people to 17, yes, we're doing very well. But if your standard is 30,000 young people that nobody wants, whoa, gotta up the game a little bit. Gotta up the game. Hey, we know this. This is no news flash. Like, I think the stats are something like 85% of people who become Christians become a Christian before they're age 18. Let that sink in a little bit. So let's put all our money to reaching people 50. Come on. If it's just a financial decision, the heck with them. No, I'm kidding. Your odds are a whole lot better going after the ones when they're going to get reached. So here's a strategy guy gave me a few years ago. I didn't expect this to happen with it, but it's happened, it's happening, and it's going to happen greater. It was about 3 years ago. You know, I just have ideas, and I'm a visionary. I get things. Most of the ideas I have, they're just gone because they just come and go and stuff like that. About 3 years ago, I was just kind of praying about, thinking about the nations, and you know, I've been a lot of places in the world, and I've worked a lot with young people all over the world, and I've seen a lot of things kind of work and seen a lot of things absolutely not work all over the world. And so I just felt God give me a strategy, really a vision for a strategy of how to reach people and how to reach young people all over the world. I think it's so big that this could revolutionize countries. Isn't that crazy that I actually just said that? I really think this is so big it could revolutionize countries. And what this is, what the vision was, take local churches. Listen, don't think that the American church is the only one struggling to reach young people. Nobody's reaching young people. Churches are not reaching young people. And in some nations, well, 25% of America is younger than 25. In places like Kenya, it's well over half their population is under 25, and they're not reaching them. They're not reaching them. So I had a strategy that you would have the churches begin to develop people in a sport, and like basketball, and you would put together basketball teams. It sounds so cheesy, but hear me out, because there's something about this that's going places. And you would develop basketball teams, and you would use this as your big wide open funnel as people came in, and you would pour into their life, and the church is the one running it. The entire purpose of this is for disciple making and church growth. It's the only purpose of it. And you would draw these people in, and you'd reach them, and you've had contact, and they would be begging to be part of you, and they would come in, and they would, because you'd say, like, for instance, to be on this team, you got to go to school, you can't use drugs, and you need to attend church, or whatever the thing would be. And they'd come in, they'd be knocking on their door, say, we want in, and another church, we want a team, and we want in, and all that stuff. And I thought, this is a cool idea. I shared it with a handful of people, and it was neat, it was fun like that, and like most of my visions, I just then put them away, let them go, because every vision needs an incubator, and it needs to sit and just be buried, gone. And in fact, Sadiq and Keith actually went over to Kenya, shared it with people over there, and everybody went super crazy excited about it. But they came back, and it wasn't time to do anything. So I know I told this story, so I'm going to go really brief on this, because this all gets to what we're doing here. And that was, I went over there, you know, a government official found out I was in Kitale, wanted to meet with me. He's a minister of sports. He says, listen, we're having trouble with our teenagers and our young people. Help us. How can we reach them? Do you have any ideas? And he actually said, I said, well, how many kids are we talking about? Because I'm thinking, yeah, this could work. What do you have? He said, I have 500,000 young people. So I said, good, I'll bring my whole church over and we'll just move over. He said, I have 500,000 young people who are all lost. They don't have parents. None of them have fathers. They're lost. They're all turning to drugs. They're dropping out of school. What would you do to help me? And I just told him I had an answer. I said, I know exactly what I would do. I presented him the vision. It was called International Sports Academy. And I said, what we would do is this, that, and the other thing. I said, he said, well, how would we do it? I said, here's what I need. I looked right at this government official. He has access to a lot of money. And I said to him, I said, I need you to build me basketball courts. There's not a single basketball court in that whole county. There's not a single organized league of any sports in the entire county. No kid plays any sport that's organized. And I said, I need you to build me courts and all that stuff, and you do that? And he says, oh, I can do that. I have money for that. He says, what would you do for equipment? I said, I'll ship a container over. And he says, great. I'll pay for the shipping tax-free, and we'll bring the thing over here, and we'll park it right in Pastor Peter's yard, and it'll be the storage shed, and that's great. He says, listen, I can get these things built by August. I'm thinking, what am I? Right? As though something's big going on. He says, this is what I want. He says, there's 47 counties in Kenya. None of them have organized sports. He says, I want to be a test, and I want all the other counties to jump in on this. I told him, I said, Agri is his name. I said, listen, I'm only interested in growing churches. All I'm interested in is simply a tool to grow churches. I will only partner with you if you give me free rein to grow churches. That's all I want to do. He says, absolutely, we want. Because he says, who would run this? I said, listen, your schools can't run this. You can't. I'm not running through schools. This is what I told him. I said, I know your teachers. When they leave the house in the morning, their entire goal is to get home in the evening. Yeah. It's such a ridiculous system over there. And I said, your government can't run it because you're all corrupt. And I mean, I'm telling him this. And I said, the only place, the only thing that can run this is your local churches. They're the only ones equipped to reach young people, period. Because they can, and life everlasting. He said, I'm ready. What do we need to do? And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not. So listen, I come home. And really, as the elders were praying, we were going over that, there was something that was going to happen that was going to bring back here. So here's the thing. I want every kid in this region. I want them all. I'm not looking for 100. Which ones are you willing to go to hell? Do you know what I'm saying? So which ones are we saying, you know what, I hope somebody else reaches you. Listen, I hope it. Here's what I know. Everybody's joining in. This is not us alone. But I told you somebody's got to. It's us, people. It's just us. Just embrace it. Two weeks ago, actually, as soon as I came back, I was at Olmsted at a retreat. I was sitting there praying, and God said, this is clear as can be to me, and I know this is what he's been saying to us for years. I know he's been saying this to me, talking about this region, talking about the young people. I know he said this. As far as the region goes, he says, it's there if you want it. Take it. He says, take the step of faith. He says, they, and this is other believers, they are waiting, they have been waiting, they're not going to do it, but they are waiting. They will help, they will join the army, but they won't step. Yeah. It's there if you want it, take it. I'm telling you, I hope everybody, I would like every church in this region to be preaching the same message today, because I'm into everybody taking the first step. But all I'm responsible for is us, and we got to take this first step. So here's what we're going to do. I don't know how this is going to work. I know every obstacle in the way of this, so you don't need to tell me the obstacles. I know them all. We got to go big, people. Big. You mean big? I mean big. Bigger than big. Big. A lot of people out there. Most of them are going to hell. I'm telling 80% of the people in this area, you can 80% of the people are not in church today. Guaranteed. There's no percent in church. I think it's more like 10%. That's on the internet because it's self-reporting, exaggerated. Right? We have a hard time getting 60% of our people to come here. No, I'm serious. And we're a higher percentage than most churches. So right now, there's like 10% of the people in churching. It means 90% are not. You talk about an unreached country. So here's what we're going to do. I don't know how it's going to work, but hopefully you do. A huge honking building to the heart of God. I mean, it's not going to be a worship center. This is the worship place. Being all the time, 24/7 if we have to. We need a funnel. A big funnel where people get sucked into the funnel who don't even know they're in the funnel, and the next thing they do, they're experiencing the love of God like they've never felt before. And they're wrapped up into the worship of Almighty God. Again, I'm presenting with you concepts today, but out there, we're putting up a big building. Okay, obstacle number one, we don't have land. I get it. Obstacle number two, we don't have money. I get it. Okay, I know these obstacles. Obstacle number three, you don't have. I get it. I get all these obstacles. I'm speaking actually a lot by faith. A big building out there with the sole purpose of making it easier for young people to encounter the living God. It's going to be big. Man, I feel like Donald Trump. It's going to be big. It's going to be, well, big. I don't know. It's just going to be big. It's going to be great, I'm telling you. Gosh, get me out of here. It's going to have all kinds of whatever. It's going to be basketball stuff, batting cages. I'm hoping that has at least a tenth of a mile running track in it. All kinds of stuff. Why? Because it's a tool to the heart of God. Going after people. I learned this a long time ago, and I was one. You can't reach an athlete with a guitar. You can't. All. when I was in high school. Why? Because they were all guitars in basements singing little songs. Wait, you weren't going to get me. I'm just telling you, get them unless you speak their language. I have nothing against guitars. My whole life has been spent around guitarists. So I got to use the right bait. And I'm telling you, 30,000 young people are unwanted by anybody from our schools ditching all their sports programs. You're going to go. Nothing to do. Yeah, I know they will. It won't be good. It absolutely will not be good. Who's going to be prepared to take them? Anybody? I don't want to be prepared. I want to be prepared. The activities, remember, things are crumbling. It's good they're crumbling, but it's not good if they're crumbling if you're not willing and ready to receive the crumble and put them into something. The things that our young people know today are not the same as they were, and they're not going to be the same as they currently are. They're going to be disillusioned by things, and they need something that's real. So how does this work? I'm not sure. When I say big, I mean really big. I mean like probably 120 wide, 150 to 180 deep. Big, that's big. This is, I felt God showed me you got to build the biggest assembling room in your region. That's big, Dave. No, but you guys are, you can see it, can't you? You can see it. You can see this thing. Nobody wants these people. Nobody. We want them. Well, show us. We've got to show them you want them. I want them. How many? I want them all. I want them all. I want this place to be filled with people worshiping. This is the worship place. I just want you to catch that clearly. It's the worship place. This needs a major facelift too. But this is a worship place, and we're drawing them in. I want to be the leader. I want to be and it always sounds silly when I say this, but I've been saying it so long that I'm finally just ready to say, listen, I actually really believe this, and we're really going to do it. And here it is. We're going to be the best. You're going to have a basketball program? We will be the best program. You're going to put together, it'll be the best facility. You're going to put together something, it's going to be the best. Well, what if somebody goes out? Well, then they didn't do good enough. I'm not into this compromising, I hope we're better than the worst thing. I want to be kick butt at these things because it's souls on the line and it's time to go after them. And it's time to say, you know, we live in it, we always get this small town mentality and we're just small. And I was at a basketball game Friday night, and it was a great facility, and it was as ironic as it is. Zach asked me what kind of facility I would build, and I just sketched him something out, and I said something like this. I went there, and I said to Zach, I said, this is what I just sketched out. So if you've been to the Villa Prep arena, I drew that before I saw it. Now we're going to build it. So, but we were there, and I said to him, I had sitting next to two people, and I said, I want one of these in Russell. What do you think they did? And there you go. I said, why are you laughing? I said, I want one of these in Russell. And they again, yeah. Come on, that thinking's of the devil. I was wondering this because we have. 40,000 people in Warren County, we can easily count another 40,000 to 60,000 that are within our range in Chautauqua County, and then our six people from McKean County who are the best. So I was wondering, how big was Jerusalem at the time of Jesus? And I thought, I wonder how big Jerusalem was at the time of Jesus. Now, the numbers that if you do a little research on this, they're all over the place. But most probably accurate numbers for Jerusalem at the time of the Jesus was between 40 and 100,000 people. Hello. It's pretty small. It changed the world from a town the same size of Warren County. Out of a town the same size of Warren County, they took down the Roman Empire. So we always think, well, it's big. They were in a city. It was so little. I've been inside the old gates. It was so little. We have college campuses that are larger than the old gates of Jerusalem. We have colleges that are larger than Jerusalem. Come on, people. We're not small. Somebody tells you you're small, you say, listen, I think I got 30,000 young people I could build an army with. I'll take you on any day. I'm just saying, let's get out of this small baloney and go for it. People say this, well, there's no money in this region. There isn't. There's a pile of money in this region. Now, there might not be much in your pocket, but this region has all kinds of resources. You realize we actually found oil? One of my favorite things when I go around the world, they say, you know, where are you from? What was from? I said, our region found oil. They said, you from Texas? I said, Texas, come on. We found it right in my backyard. And we're going to redeem it. And we're going to change things. And we're going after the world. I really just kind of, I know I'm kind of rambling now. So there's two parts to this. And I really want you to catch this. Two parts to this last part. As I was thinking, I really believe this. We have potential to reach millions of people internationally through this idea, this vision. And I just, and this was really as we met with the elders, they jumped in and said, and right here too. Right here too. I'm going to build a base for it. When will this happen? I don't know. I really want it done by 2020. You said, we're building this for your kids. My kid's going to be like a senior. I'm building them for him. If I had done that, I would have done it 15 years ago. Well, you understand what I'm saying? You say, oh, Rick, you just like sports. Listen, I've been in ministry 25 years. My very first basketball hoop I've ever used to minister is in Keith's office. 16 feet wide, 24 feet, 9-foot hoop. That's the first basketball I've ever used in ministry. So come on, I got 25 years behind me. I've never used this kind of stuff. And if you're going to start using sports as a ministry, don't start when you're 50. You lose all coolness. I'm telling you, it's just something God wants for it, wants for our area, the heart of God. I think I'm just going to stop because I think you're catching it. Maybe Ben, just come up. I knew the service was going to be long. It's not long for me. I spend 2.5 hours in services every Sunday. So this is actually 40 minutes short for me. So if you're wondering. But just kind of look at me. Are you kind of, can you see this? Can you see young people coming to the heart of God and coming in and going all this stuff? And I hope you can do this too. You'll see a lot of obstacles in the way. Absolutely. But I want us to have that heart that Caleb did. Oh, I see all the obstacles too. But we can do it, people. We can do it. I'll take these 30,000 young people. Take them. Now, do I want those over 25? Of course. I tell you what, you reach those under 25, you get them all. You get them, absolutely. That's what I mean, you get them all. You get them all. You go after that. The reason I pointed to these under 25, our church is 25 years old. When we started, not a single one of these people was born. Yeah. We're not alive. Yeah. They weren't alive when this church started. Therefore, on our watch, they've lived. And I don't want to go 25 more years and say, well, you know, I think those first 25,000 are all, like, lost. Well, there's another 25,000 lost. Come on, not on our watch. Yeah, that, and of course, that was just people looking at it. So we want the looking and coming and ratchet. Exactly. Draw them all in. Draw them all in. Yeah, go ahead. Absolutely. I'm just gonna stop. Brother Brian.
Well, when we were meeting the other night, I just shared a 2-minute testimony. I grew up in an alcoholic family that was kind of abusive, and I was one of those kids that didn't have any place to go. And, you know, you think 10-year-olds can't make decisions. Well, they can, and they can make good decisions. But I took my sister, and on Sunday mornings, because there was, that was the morning after the drinking on Saturday night, where it was really bad on Sunday mornings. We walked to the Lutheran church on Sunday mornings, where I met the pastor there, and he literally was my Jesus. He was the one that changed my life. He didn't do anything special. What he did that was special was that he just loved me unconditionally. That's it. You build this thing where you can love the kids unconditionally, and they will transform the region and change the world. We are, if I look across this congregation, we're the Calebs. We're the Calebs, and I'm convinced that God's had you with the sword in your hand for 40 years because you didn't get to cross the Jordan when you knew it was time, but you were still in a place where you were preparing yourself. And that's you guys. You were preparing yourself to go across that Jordan to make a difference. And the Bible says that he had the same strength at 80 that he had at 40. And that's because he purposed to keep himself in shape. He purposed to make a difference. And we need to be an inspired people who are going to be inspiring the next generation. We can make a change. We can make a difference.